This week is Teen Driver Safety Week, and we wanted to make sure we highlight it. And so Connecticut State Police joining us back on the show. Sergeant Luke Davis is here. And Sergeant Davis, glad to have you back. Let's talk about some of the biggest offenses, I guess, in general, that we see from Connecticut drivers, and then really focus on what teen drivers should be thinking about.
Sure. Well, thanks for having me yet again, Melissa.
Of course. We always love having you. So let's look at Connecticut and what Connecticut State Police, our DOT, our municipal police, what are we seeing as the biggest offenses, the biggest problems with Connecticut drivers today, besides our behavior, which is just deplorable? But that's a whole different story.
So I think one of the biggest things to keep in mind when we're talking about young drivers who are just getting their license, 16, 17 years old, it's a scientifically proven fact that the brain is not fully developed until a person is in roughly their mid-20s. So these teen drivers are not really having the same perception as an older adult may in terms of danger and risk and how they're conveying themselves on the roadway. So where they may think that they have that excitement for going at insanely high speeds, not realizing the risk that they're putting themselves in, or other people, or even for that fact, the consequences that may come about from getting caught driving in such a manner.
You know, it's interesting you bring up speed, Sergeant Davis. I had a listener weeks ago ask this question, and I thought, you know, next time Connecticut State Police comes on, I'm going to ask about it. Cars. You know, we hear all the time from DOT and recent reports in the last couple of weeks, people going 113, 120. I mean, they're clocking well over 100 miles an hour. Why do cars even go that fast? Why are cars allowed to even go that fast?
Well, I think that that's a very valid question. And when you look at it in terms of technology and where we've come with vehicles these days, I don't think it's necessarily something that's done intentionally, but I mean, vehicles are made a lot smoother than they were, let's say, even 20, 30 years ago. So if you're not paying attention to what you're doing behind the wheel, then it is very easy to get to that sort of speed. But then again, that plays back into the responsibilities that we all have behind the wheel and being responsible for your actions and being cognizant of the speed and driving with care, as all should.
Oh, totally. I think it again, comes down to, and that's why, in a very sarcastic tone, I want to make sure that's very clear, I chuckled about our driver behavior, because in general, this is not just a teen issue, Connecticut. This is an issue, I'd say, with the average driver in Connecticut. When we see the, you know, reckless driving happening, it's, you know, behavior. And regardless of how fast your car goes, some of the decisions, the dumb, senseless decisions people are making, that comes down to behavior. But do you feel like it's a good idea, Sergeant Davis, for, you know, and I don't know if that's even plausible, but for manufacturers or for lawmakers to even look at saying, hey, you know, why are we making cars go that fast? Or is that just sort of a waste of time? Because you could do just as much damage going 30 miles an hour in a parking lot, per se.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it would be a worthwhile endeavor for something like that to be considered. I do know that several vehicles are actually made with software in them, that they call them a governor, so to speak, where it actually will not let the vehicle max out past a certain speed. And that's something that is certainly worthwhile in terms of looking at, because in the grand scheme of things, what sense is there for the average vehicle to really be driving at such speed anyways?
Right. That's what I kind of thought when this listener brought it up. I thought the same thing. So I'm glad we feel the same way about it. We have Sergeant Davis here from the Connecticut State Police. So speeding, getting back on track. Speeding is one thing. I would imagine distracted driving has to be another big offender, and impaired driving. Right. I mean, does that also coincide for teen drivers, or is, you know, I'm just checking.
No, yeah, absolutely. So under the current statutes as it is pertaining to teen drivers, just 16, 17-year-old operators, there are actually certain violations that will require a 48-hour suspension, which means whichever police officer or trooper they come into contact with that stops them, if they commit one of those violations, their license is seized for 48 hours, and they have to come to that police department or that state police barracks with a parent to come and get their license. And it doesn't end there, because now you have further ramifications that may come from the court, which would be in terms of fines, an extended license suspension, maybe driver retraining. So there are a lot of checks and balances in terms of when it comes to teen drivers.
Wow. So, Sergeant Davis, what would be some of the big takeaways if you have listeners right now who have teenagers who are driving, or maybe they have Like, I look at, okay, so I've got a first grader, but eventually he's going to be a driver. What are things that parents, families should be discussing with their drivers? Also, what should they be exhibiting? What should they be doing so that the next generation of drivers has a good example, for example?
Sure. So one of the biggest things that comes down from, let's say, Department of Motor Vehicles and our partnership with them, as well as Department of Transportation, is parents should really be focusing on purposeful driving with their teenage drivers. Now, when I say purposeful driving, I mean driving with a purpose or a reason. Transportation, A to B, going to school, going to work, place of worship, not out joyriding, because that's where you start getting into those dangerous factors of thinking, hey, my car can get to 75, let's see if we can get to 85 and beyond from there, and so on. Now, focusing on the purposeful driving, I think, is a good way for them to start with the roots of learning what it is to drive in a safe and responsible manner. And it's also a good thing to consider for parents to lead by example and to demonstrate that driving when they are teaching their teen driver how to operate a car.
I do want to make sure this is also clear, Sergeant Davis, because too often I think young people take the brunt, but maybe I'm just being biased. When we see wrong way crashes or we see impaired drivers, I just want to make clear that it's not always young people who are at the forefront of these crimes essentially being committed on our roadways, correct? I mean, it sort of runs the gamut, what we've been seeing the last couple of years.
No, you're absolutely right. It does run the gamut. And what we see on a regular basis is people of all different age ranges. However, when we're looking at it in the terms of the intense speed, reckless driving, we are seeing that more with younger adults, even teenagers, than we are with older individuals.
So, Sergeant Davis, I want to thank you so much for coming on to discuss this. And if people want more information, I know you had resources that you sent over ahead of this interview. What would you suggest people to do to, again, have these conversations, make sure that they have the resources available to keep, you know, their teens, but everybody safer on our roadways?
Yeah, no, I would definitely recommend anybody to research that through the DMV webpage, because it's a full brochure that talks about the current laws in terms of 16, 17 year old drivers, what they can and cannot do, who they have to have with them if they're going to be operating either on a permit or on a new license, the hours in which they can operate. So it is a good resource, and it's a good jumping off point for somebody who is just learning how to drive as a new teen operator.
Yeah, certainly great resources. And Sergeant Davis, always appreciate having you as a resource here on Melissa in the Morning. Thank you so much for your time.
Absolutely. Thank you.